This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Sean Wade. Sean is with Plains Cotton Growers and is set to join us in just a moment. Before that, Michael Langemeyer is an agricultural economist at Purdue, looking at the latest Purdue University CME Group Ag Economy Barometer, and says,
Going back to the futures prices again, you look at corn in particular, it's relatively flat. I mean, there's not a huge change in from corn prices this December compared to the December 24. Now, soybeans drop a little bit, obviously, because we have a shorter crop this year. But the, you know, given that the futures are relatively flat, that helps explain this, because we've had times before where next year looked a lot worse from a price standpoint, or vice versa. Next year look better, and right now we really don't have that situation.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Sean Wade. Sean is Director of Policy Analysis and Research with Plains Cotton Growers. They're headquartered in Lubbock. Sean, welcome back.
It's good to be with you today, Tony.
Okay.
Days of summer.
Hot and dry. Now, I will say this, as you look at the official drought monitor, most of the Texas Panhandle and South Plains still officially out of drought. No coloring there, but it's a bit misleading, because as I get out and walk through some of the fields, I'm already seeing some pretty deep cracks there. Is that something we're starting to see in some other areas?
Yeah, I think it is. We have, especially in the areas, you know, south of Lubbock, we really haven't gotten much rain, since that, you know, round of weather that kind of brought us out of those drought conditions, right around planting time at the first part of June. And, those were very beneficial rainfall events. It certainly helped push us, you know, well down the road as far as getting this crop established and letting it, kind of hang on, but it's really becoming pretty dire, I think, for some of these dryland acres, especially those south of Lubbock, that really haven't had much in the way of catching a stray shower here or there during the month of July. So a lot of this dryland crop is pretty quickly running out of steam, and we're going to really be concerned about beginning to lose a fair number of those acres. Once we get to those bull count appraisals in September, if this weather pattern really doesn't change drastically pretty quickly as well. Now on the irrigated side, so this is a little bit different story there. We've got some really good irrigated crops in some places. Some of it's, maybe just, maybe about average, but we do have some good stands. And do have a very good opportunity to make a pretty decent-looking irrigated crop in a lot of areas here on the plains. Of course, the question is, how many acres do we have of irrigated? How many acres of dryland? What is the status of those acres? And that's something that we really, I guess, we're looking forward to August the 11th when we get that first USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service crop production estimate. It's going to kind of give us our first glimpse of what the USDA kind of forecast for production in the state of Texas and nationally. I think equally important is we're also going to be able to get access to the first information on certified acres from the USDA Farm Service Agency as well on that day. And so that's really going to kind of be our first, I think, concrete numbers as far as, what acres got planted, what's been failed to date, and for, in what areas, and then maybe give us some strong numbers that we can work forward to, from there to kind of, I guess, put that crystal ball to work and kind of see what this crop may look like as we get closer to the end of the season.
So I'm kind of just thinking out loud here. For producers who've been able to get this far with a crop and dryland crop, you obviously don't have the expense of irrigation, but you definitely have, you've got some expense in there. You really need that last good rain to make it up. Otherwise, I would imagine that cost of growing the crop may outweigh what you can get paid for. Is that an accurate assessment?
I think that is a very accurate concern that many of our dryland producers are looking at right now. Invest in this crop. A lot of them have, put out some fertilizer. Certainly they're doing their normal due diligence, to keep those fields clean of weeds and everything. But if we don't, get some rain, really pretty immediately, I think a lot of these crops are going to struggle, to be able to, kind of put on enough fruit, later in the season if the rainfall kind of comes a little bit later. In order for them to kind of overcome some of those expenses that they've already incurred. So I think you're exactly right. There's a lot of concern that we may not, be able to make enough yield to kind of really balance against those inputs that we put into it. And that's especially true on the dryland side.
We really haven't talked about, because we're still a ways away from harvest, at least on the high plains. But once we see those expenses go up, the cost of actually growing the crop, your input prices, and then your harvest cost, those usually don't come back down, do they? Once they move up, they're pretty much there to stay.
Certainly a lot of that, a lot of times that is true. Of course, we have seen some improvement in some of the fertilizer market. Some of those prices have, kind of retreated back from the really high levels that they were at a year to a year and a half ago. But still, at maybe a level that's above where we were a few years ago. So, like I say, nothing that goes up ever, it just doesn't seem like it ever seems to fall back below where it started from. So, I think, we're going to have a little of that built-in increase that's going to be perpetual. But hopefully we can, the key a lot of times, especially in this part of the world, is that yield that we can make. And if we can make those pounds, we can overcome some of that price increase. But without the pounds, it's hard to overcome that double hit of increased costs and reduced production.
And not just producers who are looking forward to a good crop this year. There are others, that includes gins, warehouses, brokers, buyers, and even government-related. Like AMS, there's a new ginning lab in Lubbock. I imagine they'd like to run full bore this year and just see how things can go with the full crop.
No, I think that's right. That allied industry, the gins, the warehouses, those guys have really struggled right along with the producers. And in many cases, have had a much less in the way of kind of a cushion to fall back on. So, we've been, certainly looking actively for ways that we can support them in the future. But like I say, really the best support we can give is to, make a crop and get them busy. And I think that's what we've all kind of been shooting for this season since we got those planting rains. And, hopefully this weather pattern will give us a little bit of a break here soon, and we can, maybe add to this production potential that we have out there right now. I think the hard question that most people are asking right now is really trying to get a handle on what that potential is. And so these reports the next week or so are going to help shed some of that light, and hopefully it's going to be good news. That's going to come along with, maybe a change in the weather, and, maybe get this El Nino pattern a little bit more engaged, to bring us some rainfall in a timely fashion.
Okay. So busy time of the year for producers, a lot of things going on, but there are still some opportunities to get away from the farm and expand the knowledge realm. Is that a good way to put it?
It is. I mean, I think we've got a lot of things kind of on the calendar coming up. Very soon on August the 15th, there's actually going to be a field day over at the USDA ARS Cropping Systems Research Laboratory here in Lubbock at 4th Street and Texas Tech Parkway. They're inviting, you know, folks to come in and see the work that they're doing. If folks wanted to, you know, maybe look into attending that day's events on August the 15th, I would encourage them to swing by the PCG website, look on our events page under the communications tab, and, you know, click on some of the links there to get the information that they would need to RSVP to participate in that field day on August the 15th. That's going to be a really interesting event and give producers a look at some of the research that they don't normally get to see, I think, is the thing. And so that's going to be something that that we really looking forward to seeing and participating in. There's going to be a cotton mapping and harvest aid school over in Hockley County or Cochran County over at the Barker Research Farm, at the new Barker Research Farm in Morton, Texas. Folks that might be interested in that on August the 25th, it's only an hour-long program, but, you know, helping to kind of teach some folks, you know, how to map cotton, and kind of see how that cotton is progressing during the growing season, but also get some good insight on, you know, maybe harvest days and their use for this year. They can contact the Hockley County AgriLife Extension Service office there in Leveland, and they can just, you know, contact Carrie Siders over there. And the phone number would be 806-638-5635. So I encourage folks to maybe look into that. And then, of course, you know, as we get closer into the middle of September, we're going to have the West Texas Ag Chem annual conference as well. And we'll be putting some more information up on that. But we're getting really close to seeing the schedule for that program finalized. And so I would encourage folks to kind of just keep an eye on that events tab under the communications page on the PCG website to kind of see what's going on, what's coming up, and get an idea of, you know, some of the things that they can do to kind of enhance their knowledge of what's going on around the country and in the industry, and maybe just you know, get some timely information for us as we begin to head into that harvest season.
Sean Wade is Director of Policy Analysis and Research with Plains Cotton Growers online, plainscotton.org. It's the Agribusiness Report.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
Life doesn't come with guarantees, but working with Rob Seco comes pretty close. Our strategic investments in the seed we offer are designed to directly improve your bottom line. From full trait platforms, breeding and development, to field-by-field planning and seed-driven crop inputs, with Rob Seco, you have precisely what you need to improve plant performance and increase yield. Every farm, every crop, and every acre. Learn more at robseco.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today, Sean Wade with Plains Cotton Growers.
At Plains Cotton Cooperative Association, our mission is to ensure the long-term profitability of our grower owners through value-added marketing programs and through services to their gins. As a true cooperative, we pay dividends back to our grower owners to financially strengthen their farming operations, whether in Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, or New Mexico. Rest assured, at PCCA, we make money for you, not from you.
American agriculture creates millions of jobs all the while feeding and clothing the world. But with many policymakers so removed from the farm, attacks on farm policy threaten our livelihood and quality of life in rural America. Our strength is our willingness to work together for the benefit of all. That's why business and farm leaders have formed the Southwest Council of Agribusiness to defend the bedrock of our economy and our way of life. This is Larry Combest. The Southwest Council of Agribusiness is at southwest-council.com.
This is the Agribusiness Report. Keep up with Plains Cotton Growers online, plainscotton.org.
Let's talk about cotton research. Cotton Incorporated funds more than 400 ag research projects every year. They study cotton, engineering, economic development, entomology, agronomy, pathology, variety selection, expanded cotton seed uses. And that's just the start. You grow the cotton research and promotion program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report.
A recent USDA study looks at trends in concentration within sectors of agribusiness and what that means in terms of potential impacts to competition. One of the areas studied is the meatpacking industry.
In 1980, the top four meatpackers handled maybe 35% of all cattle. By 1995 and still today, they handled over 80% of all cattle.
USDA research economist James McDonald says the impacts to the meatpacking industry include
the spread between what they get paid for wholesale beef and what they pay for cattle did widen considerably since that time. At the same time, we started to see entry by new packing plants and new firms into the business just in recent years, which is both an indication of market power and a potential solution to it by expanding capacity and offering more competition for current packers.
I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.